been doing for the past several months is getting ready for this launch. And one of those things that we've been talking about is, you know, is the way that children's ministry is going to look for us as a church. And so tonight, just a couple of weeks before our first launch, or, you know, our initial launch service, we wanted to have the children's pastors, Computers of URL, otherwise known as Brett and Amy, but I never call them that, so. The Aiders, talk to us a little bit about what we're going to be doing with children's ministry, how that's going to look, and they're going to give us some training. The training, we're just going to all be trained just in case they ever need any of us, or, you know, we ever find ourselves in that volunteer spot. And then really, for the most part, they're going to be having a team that they'll be building over the course of time. And so what they wanted to do tonight was really kind of inject some DNA, but absolutely help us all understand what it is that we'll be doing in the children's ministry and how we will be participating if we ever volunteer, if we're ever being used and being helpful back there. So I'm going to hand this over to them and let them take it from here.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I'm going to go ahead and just pray so that hopefully the Spirit will be here and be with us because we're going to need Him. Father God, we just thank You so much for today. We thank You so much for what You're doing, Lord, with this new church, with this new body of believers. God, that You have directed. God, we just thank You for the vision that You've given to this congregation. We thank You for the vision that You've given us, Lord, for the children. And we just ask, God, that You just give us grace and clarity and just help us, Lord, to impart, Lord, to Your people, Father, what is on Your heart, Lord. Let us truly be ministers, God, just let us just be conduits, Lord, of Your heart and Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're getting started, Cherish, could I get you to help pass these out? Thank you. Well, as Brett said, tonight we are wanting to just communicate and convey our heart for the children's ministry and a little bit of how it will go so that everybody knows, so that when we cast lots and the lot falls to you, you'll have a little bit to start with and won't be totally new. As Cherish is passing those out, we're actually going to start on the second page. So if you already have your notes, go ahead and flip to the second page, and when you get your notes that you haven't gotten yet, flip to the second page. And we're actually going to start in section 2, Preparing a Generation.
I just want to say, like, as you're getting your notes, I was thinking about this, and I had put all the practical stuff at the beginning and then put, you know, the heart of it at the end, and it was like, really, more than I want you to get the nuts and bolts of how to do children's ministry, I want us to be equipped with the heart of God concerning children. And so that's why we're starting with point 2, which is preparing a generation. And just allow your hearts to be open to what the Lord is doing. So. Does everyone have their notes? Does anyone not have notes?
Do you have extras?
We don't. Sorry. It's his fault.
It's totally my fault. So, yeah, share notes if you can. Okay, so the first part under preparing a generation, and again, this section is, you know, kind of where our heart is coming from. So part A, being spirit-led. Working with children absolutely requires being flexible and adaptable. If you've spent 5 minutes with a child, you know that they are not going to necessarily follow whatever plan you have. and you have to guide them and work with them. We don't expect the schedule that's on page one to always or ever be followed exactly. You know, children, especially small children, they don't know the difference between 4:35 and 4:36. But the schedule is a template from which to work. Our desire is that the Holy Spirit would be given unhindered access to the hearts of our children. We can foster that by having a keen attentiveness to His Spirit as we minister. So for those of you that are familiar with the prayer room and with the model that they have, it's the same kind of thing, that there's a model in place with, you know, guidelines and times to follow, but the heart, you know, is always, if the Spirit, you know, shows up and hijacks the meeting, you follow the Spirit. You know, the Spirit always trumps the model. The Spirit always trumps the schedule. And so that's, you know, that's the first and foremost for us in having the children's ministry and ministering to our children, is that we would be led by the Spirit, that we would, you know, we would speak the words that He's speaking and doing the things that are on the Spirit's heart. Part B, pray. I know this is going to be a hard one for this group. We firmly believe that no ministry should be engaged in without first seeking the Lord in prayer. We reference the Psalm 127 that talks about children being arrows in our quiver, that the Lord would use. Let us not labor in vain when it comes to preparing and aiming the arrows that the Lord has placed in our quiver. Our heart truly is that our children, and when I say our children, you know, speaking to the congregation like this, it's so far beyond, you know, Amy and I's natural children or the Stroop's children. Our children are the children of our body.
Amen.
I really want to help impart that tonight, that each of you, you know, because you're not a child, you are in a place of leadership, you are in a place of, you know, a level of parenthood over the children of our body, the children of this ministry. So our children are the arrows that we will shoot forth into the last days. So let's not be lax in preparing them. Part two, you are already in prayer meetings throughout the week. Set aside a portion of those meetings to pray for the children and your role in equipping them. We want that. We expect that. Anybody that's, you know, going to be, you know, helping us, you know, in the children's ministry, we really expect that you are spending time, you know, throughout the week, praying for the children, praying for yourself as a minister. We know, you know, being people of prayer, we know the power of prayer. We know that it is real and it is powerful. And so we can't overemphasize, you know, just using that tool in approaching ministry.
And on that, I just want to say, this is something, you don't have to have like an extra prayer meeting where you just devote all of your time. We're already in prayer meetings all week long. You know, it's taking 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and saying, Lord, I'm helping in children's church this week. Lead me, guide me, prepare my heart. And so, you know, I don't want you guys, like, really so much of what this model that we're doing as far as children's church, it requires you to be in a place of submission to the Lord, but not necessarily that you have to be an excellent teacher or an excellent person with children. It's just having the yes in your heart towards God, because that is the most important place for us to be as individuals, to get our children to the place where they can have that yes in their heart towards God. So if you just come and you've already been with the Lord, that's all that you need. That's really all the preparation that you need for equipping children to be with the Lord.
It's good.
So.
top of the next page, part C, let the word speak for itself. As we, you know, as you see the lessons, which I don't think we have any, no, but that's okay. As you are involved in the children's ministry, as you volunteer and or are volunteered to help out, in the lessons you will notice there's very little filler material. For the most part, we are reading straight from the scripture. We personally believe that so much of the doctrinal error that the church currently holds to is a result of ministers not letting God's word speak for itself. They paraphrase it. They, you know, take things out of context. They say that it means something that it doesn't. They say it's symbolic when it isn't. We don't want to fill our children's heads with theologies or philosophies. We want them to hear the word, to know it, and be able to apply it. We want our sons and daughters to have a theology based purely on God's word and on his spirit, not man, bringing revelation.
And just on that, in Matthew 11, verses 20 through 30, basically, in our Bibles, it's segmented, and you have the title where it says, "Woe to the unrepentant cities," and then it says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And those are two different ideas according to the theologians of our day. But I just think it's so interesting. He's giving judgments to the cities, and I won't read what he says, but he's, you know, "Woe to you, Chorazin," and all the different cities. And then he comes down and it says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" And he's saying that about the judgments, that the wise have not seen it, but he's revealed it to little children. Not like, and you know, a lot of times, well, that's like children, like, you know, we're all little children in God's eyes. I don't think God is that cryptic. He purposely said little children. And so part of what this is, you know, our children are capable, it was like Brad was saying last night, our children are capable of understanding the word. I don't want to give my children a false theology. I want them to be able to go, I want to give them the word, say, "Here's the word. Now you tell me, what is the Lord saying?" And have them go before the Lord and say, "Here, Lord, what do you mean by this?" And have the Lord personally download it. Because if we tell our children, this is what the word means, this is, if we're always doing that, they never learn to seek it for themselves. They never learn to have a theology that has grown out of, "I read the word and the Lord revealed to me." And so what we're doing here is we're purposely having them exercise that every week, that they seek the word, that they're just hearing straight from the word of God what it says, and then they're taking that and they're bringing it before the Lord and they're saying, you know, "Okay, God, what does this mean?" And they're hearing from God, and then we get to benefit from the revelation that they're receiving.
Awesome.
So. Yeah, just like she said, you know, we know that the word says, you know, that God uses the weak things, you know, to confound, you know, the wise, the things that aren't to confound the things that are. And how beautiful will it be? And we will see it. How beautiful will it be? And we have no concept of it. We see it nowhere else. How beautiful will it be when the Lord uses the little children to give revelation to, that then exhorts and encourages and prophesies to the adults? How beautiful will it be? Part D, teach to the oldest child. This is something that we learned from Tracy LaGuardia at IHOP KC. She and her husband Lenny are the directors of the Children's Equipping Center there. They've been doing it for several years and are just anointed and just have so much wisdom. So by teaching to the oldest child, you ensure that the older children do not get bored and check out. And what, so to clarify this a little bit, because you're like, what? In the structure of the children's ministry, you know, it'll be broken up into age groups. So like ages 1 and 2, ages 3 and 4, you know, ages 5 and 6, and then 7 and 10.
Yes, yeah. Eventually.
Eventually, when we have children that fit in all those groups. And so, you'll have a group of kids that are everywhere from they turn 1 today to they're about to turn 3 tomorrow. And that's in development and understanding, that's can be a pretty wide range. But something that they do there and has just, you know, they're really benefited from, and so we're going to implement here is within an age group, within, you know, a class, teaching to the oldest. And what they have found is that, you know, like it says, by doing that, if you try to teach to the 1-year-old, the 2-year-old will check out. Also, we're preparing children to absorb teaching that is not dumbed down. So if you try teaching to the 1-year-old, you know, the 2-year-old is going to be like, I learned this all last year, you know, and they're gone. And then part 3, the smaller children will still be able to glean information through this teaching style. So what they have found is that even though, you know, the 1-year-old may not completely grasp everything that the 2.5-year-old is, they're still getting some, and it's, you know, it'll build on as they, you know, age.
And just on that, one of the great things about having older children with younger children, which is kind of going to be a little bit of our brokenness in the beginning, but I think also can be a gift, is that the older children, when they understand it and when they comprehend it, they're able to break it down to their little brothers and sisters. Yeah. And they're becoming teachers. They're becoming, you know, full of the Word of God, and they're having their own revelations, and they're giving it to the younger ones. So,
next, part 3, the why behind the what. This is something, as we've been preparing, has just been kind of a recurring theme. We keep saying the why behind the what, the why behind the what. And, you know, the reason for that is we, especially, you know, with the children, we don't want to just have things that we do. We don't want to just have, you know, processes and protocols and traditions, and just because that's what's been done before and because that's what, you know, we've heard of. You know, and everything that as we're forming things and as we'll continue to, you know, reform things and add things and subtract things, we always ask the question, why? Why do we implement it? Why are we implementing this? Why are we not implementing that? You know, what is the why behind the what? And so we just wanted to share some of the why behind, you know, some of the things that are going to be real unique for our congregation. So part A, well, actually, before I go to part A, I'll go ahead.
You might want to refer to the schedule at the front of the notes so that you're understanding why we're saying the why. That's the what, and this is the why.
Yeah, we're right on the same page. I was just about to say, real quick, everybody, hold your place on that third page and go to the first page. We're going to look over the schedule real briefly. So hold your place and go to the first page, and you'll see the schedule. And this is, you know, if you look at the times, this is the schedule for the entire service, not just when, you know, the children are back, you know, with us in the children's ministry. This is the schedule for the children for the whole service. And so I'm not going to go over it. I just wanted you to glance over it, like I said, real quick, and just kind of see some of the pieces, parts of it, so that when we get into the why behind the what, it's not completely new information. Three, two, one. Okay, and back to page three. So part A, why worship with adults? We have some scriptures there, Psalm 8:2. I mean, this is the word. This is what God said, you know, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. And that'd be real easy to just read over and be like, okay, that sounds cool. But when you really think about it, I mean, stop and really think. God Almighty has given a different level, of praise and worship to babies and infants who can barely say mommy, daddy, has given them a special level of worship and praise that stills the enemy and the avenger. It makes Satan go away. For real.
And so why wouldn't we want them in here with us? And I just want to speak to this from personal experience. We have a little two-year-old who will wake up in the morning and go, he'll look up at the sky and say, Jesus is in the sky. And I never told him Jesus is in the sky. I don't know where he gets it from. But he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now that I told him, but like, and he's just, he's coming up with these things. And it's, part of it is we're in the house of prayer on a constant, continual basis. And he's in that atmosphere and he's learning to worship God. But just throughout the day, he'll like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he'll like say things and do things. And he's worshiping the Lord. And it changes the atmosphere in our home when he does that. When he, if you're in the prayer room and you see him, it, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but for me, it changes the atmosphere when I see my little two-year-old son worshiping Jesus, and he's really engaging.
Yeah.
And so I want that to be what exists here, that we get to experience praise perfected. Jesus said that out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have perfected praise. And so they don't have all of these hang-ups and these distractions that we have when we get before the Lord and we're thinking about our to-do list and we're thinking, they're just thinking, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're praising Jesus. Honestly, I can't say what they're thinking, but I know my son is praising Jesus, and I know that he has perfected praise because the Bible says that he does. And I know that he is silencing the enemy with his praise because the Bible says that he is.
Good.
And so that's powerful, and I want that to be here with us, among us. So.
Yeah, part two is just, you know, in Matthew, where Jesus is then quoting that Psalm 8 passage, just like Amy said. Part three, so why worship? Why do we have the children in here, you know, with the adults during worship? We are raising up and training future forerunners, not junior Christians. You know, I think it's on the first page. Yeah. So the under the schedule on the first page, the very first title says equipping future forerunners. And that's, you know, that's our heart. That's what we are doing. That's our goal. That's our vision. We are equipping future forerunners. And so that's behind, you know, everything. We have it here under the why worship with adults, but it really, I mean, that line could go on every section of everything we write. And it just it's so unfortunate to us and breaks our heart so much that the by and large the church doesn't have this concept, and they, you know, they do dumb down, you know, children's church, it's just like they are junior Christians, and we're like, no, I mean, they're, you know, my son, I mean, granted, he's 2, so he doesn't have a revelation of, like, sin and that he needs a savior, but my 2-year-old, who has been in the house of prayer from, you know, the time he was, I think, a week old, you know, he is just as much a Christian as I am. He's not a junior Christian. He, you know, he is just as much as any of us. And because that's our heart, to raise up, you know, future forerunners, as much as we can, where it makes sense, where it, you know, is, you know, beneficial, we want to integrate the children in, you know, in service, in what the adults are doing, because that's where they're growing to, you know. Children of age, and eventually they'll be, you know, 10 or 11, which is when, you know, then they're in service with the adults, you know, the entire time. That's where they're growing to. And so we want to prepare them for that, you know, not have fun with them. And then when they're 10 and they move into the service, it takes them 2 or 3 years to get acclimated to what that's like.
That's good. And just something that I want to say on this is that we have this idea of what is age appropriate and what is acceptable to give our children. And to an extent, that's good. But I want to say the enemy does not have an idea of what is age appropriate for our children.
Man. That's right.
And if you look at the statistics and you look at the stats, children are being exposed to so much before they're even 10 years old. So I think in a lot of ways, it has been the plan of the enemy to say, let's hold off on the super spiritual things and not give those to our children, so that we have children who've been exposed to the world, but they've not been exposed to the power of Jesus Christ.
Come on, you're right.
And so what I want to do is I want to have children who have been exposed to the power of Jesus Christ, to the revelation that he can give, that they are equipped to prophesy and to move in spiritual gifts, because that's the only way they're going to stand in this last generation, is if from the time they were 2 years old, they've been taught how to pray and how to seek the face of the Lord. This generation is not getting any less wicked, and the enemy is not starting any later in life. He doesn't wait till they're 10 to say, okay, now let me tell you about, you know, all the evil things in the world. I was listening to a YouTube testimony, and it was a girl who had been raised in Satanism, and she was saying, she was talking about what she was experiencing as a little girl, like 2 years old, watching children being human sacrificed. I mean, this is the, we don't see it because we cover our eyes, but this is the society that we're living in.
Yep.
People, children are being exposed to drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, all of this when they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old. It's time for us to train our children on the things of the Lord before they're gone.
Come on.
And so one of the videos that I wanted to show tonight, but we could, it's called the 414 window, and that's your homework. Go YouTube 414 window. It talks about, you know, what happened between King David and Absalom. And what happened was they lost a generation. And we are seeing a generation being lost.
Yeah.
And we have to have a revelation that our children are hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
This is not a time to sit back and quietly let the enemy take our children.
Right.
It is a time to equip them and prepare them, because they are going to be the ones facing the Antichrist. They're going to be the ones who are standing there and having to make the decision to serve the Lord or choose between their parents. And I want my son to say, Mom, I love you, but I love Jesus more. I'll see you on the other side.
Come on.
And so this is what we're preparing for.
I married well. Part A2 that's not on your notes, that we realized just a little while ago during worship. Something that some of you may be aware of, some of you may not be. So in our service schedule, we've set aside that the fourth Sunday of every month is what we're going to call Family Sunday. And what that is when the children will stay in service the entire time. They won't go to children's ministry with Amy and I and whoever, you know, is helping us. They'll be, you know, here the entire time. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. One is the same thing, you know, that we were just talking about, is why worship with adults, you know, is so that they, you know, they begin to understand, they begin to grasp, you know, what this environment's like, and as they prepare to join this environment. And like Amy said, you know, age appropriate kind of goes out the window, and they'll, you know, they'll be equipped, and because we're going to be praying for them, the Lord will give them revelation and minister to them. The other reason for the Family Sunday that is very important but is largely overlooked, and thankfully Amy has lots of personal experience with this, so she has the wisdom to know this is very important, is that it gives those ministering to the children a chance to have adult fellowship.
Good.
You hear all kinds of stories about people doing, you know, Sunday school or children's ministry for a period of time, and they get burnout. And the reason they get, well, the large reason, you know, that they get burnout, you know, really isn't that children are so bad. It's just because, you know, as adults, we crave, you know, that time of fellowship and of conversation that, you know, is a higher level than 2 and 3 and 4. And so that's the other reason that, again, the fourth Sunday is going to be Family Sunday.
And just another thing on that is, also it gives the chance for those who are ministering to be connected to the vision of the house, because it's easy, and I've been there, because I've worked for 2 years straight just doing children's church, never being in service. You can get disconnected from what is happening in the church when all you see is two-year-old faces, and you're ministering, but you're never getting download or input. And so we don't want ourselves or our staff to get disconnected from what this house is doing. We want to make sure that the vision that we're bringing before our children is the vision that's coming from the leadership, and that we're staying on the same page.
Awesome.
Okay, part B, why have a welcome time or welcome activity? And I'm going to start going quicker, but it allows times for parents to sign in children without interrupting the lesson. You know, the funny thing about time and space and physics is that a door is only so big, and you can only, you know, have the parents coming in and filling out, you know, if it's a brand new parent, they have to fill out forms, or, you know, even if they're returning, there's some administration that has to happen, and that can only happen, you know, so much at a time. And so it works out so much better to, you know, have the first, second, third kids, you know, doing something that if the last kids miss out, they're not going to miss the lesson. They're not going to miss the point. It works out real well. It allows that time. It gives the ministers a chance to gather and prepare the materials for the lesson. Also, children, especially, you know, 1 to 6, need that time of free play where it's funny, children need structure, but within structure, they need non-structure. You know, they need free play so that when it's time to be really structured and they need to focus on the lesson, they can. Did you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Okay, and then the older kids, the 7 to 10 year olds, will be given an activity that will help sharpen their skills in studying the Word. It will be a Bible puzzle that pertains to the lesson for that week.
And on this, I want to be very careful in that this is going to be a fun activity, but it's going to be an activity that causes them to have to search in their Bible and look up things, because I want our children to learn how to do that.
Come on. Like,
so they're going to be searching the scripture, and that's, to me, that's valuable. Even if it's a fun activity, they're learning how to search out the scripture. Okay, I'm trying to find this, you know, so that's the why behind the what on that.
Good.
Part C, why snack? Kids get hungry. Who knew? And they will be more attentive if they're not sitting there thinking about how hungry they are and telling the ministers about how hungry they are. I'm hungry. You know? Miss Amy, Mr. Computers, it's 5:15. I haven't eaten since lunch. So it's just real. It's an easy way to get all of the children sitting and ready for the lesson quickly. You know, it's just funny how much children will follow direction if there's a snack involved. Sit down and you get your fruit snacks or crackers or whatever we'll do. And part three is my favorite. Jesus gave snacks.
Okay, no one come to me and tell me the theological reason why this is not... I was just kidding, but no, kind of serious, that he did feed the 5,000.
And then they were paying attention when he brought the word. Part D, why have lesson visuals? Everything a child learns, especially in the toddler stage, is through his or her 5 senses. They need to be able to touch it and see it in order to comprehend it. Obviously, our constant prayer with children is that the Lord would reveal himself, you know, to their spirits and would reveal things that go beyond, you know, whatever visual aid we have. But in the natural, we're still dealing with children who are still learning to recognize shapes and colors, and it helps to have a visual reference point. Especially, you know, when we're teaching them things that, you know, happen before the flood, and it's a totally different world from what they see around them now. Especially the younger ones, they need that. Part E. Okay. Why is there a craft/hearing God's voice activity? And the slash is depending on the age group. The younger kids, it's a craft. The older kids, it's a hearing God's voice activity. Part one, we do crafts with 1 to 2 year olds to visually, and we might have made up this word, but it passed spell check, tactily enforce, and tactily enforce what they are learning. And again, like Amy was saying, with the activity that the 7 to 10 year olds are going to be doing in the intro time, it's going to, you know, the craft, it's going to be something that reinforces, you know, what we're teaching from the Word. It's a craft that will, you know, that will convey in a different way, you know, what we're teaching them about God, what we're teaching them about who He is and what He says. Part two, when the children turn 3, they will be encouraged to listen and hear God's voice. Yes, I'm going to say that again. When they turn 3, they will be encouraged to listen and hear God's voice. And their craft will be to draw a picture or write down what the Lord is showing them.
Love it.
So what I envision here at some point when we have more students is that they will have their word journals, and they will be given like any kind of, you know, crayons, markers, paints, whatever. And they're going to be reading the word, and then they're going to be, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord's going to give them download. And they're going to color a picture, or they're going to write a psalm, or they're going to do something, and then they're going to share that in small group. And it's part of the 1 Corinthians 14:26, where it's like, if you have an encouraging word, if you have a revelation, you bring it. And so our children are going to be deeply involved in everything we do as part of this church. So.
And we are running short on time, so I'm going to start going real fast. I'm going to go into part F, but read the rest of part E because it's good. Part F, why apostolic prayer activity? And again, this is for the older kids. We are a praying church. Who knew? It is our hope and expectation that children will be joining their parents in sacred trust meetings at the prayer room. And if that's the case, they should then be trained on how to pray apostolic prayers.
Come on.
Again, not junior Christians. If we, you know, are encouraging the apostolic prayers, you know, are prayed on the open mic at the prayer room, that's what our kids are going to be praying on the open mic at the prayer room. Are apostolic prayers the only way to pray? No. However, they set a good foundation for children to learn how to pray according to the word, not just their own thoughts. Part three, the 3 to 6-year-olds are going to be using the prayer tree, which do we, oh my gosh, we have one more page. We're not getting through all this.
Sorry.
You guys are doing great.
And that's a fun interpretation of the Revelation passage. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations.
Okay, just a quick, you know, tutorial on how this will work. Every week in the lesson, there will be a scripture, an apostolic prayer scripture, and that will pertain to the lesson. So for instance, we're going to do lesson one, God is creator. And so the scripture will be Ephesians 1:17-18, Lord, give the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the kids will come up. They'll pick a tree, pick a leaf. Each leaf has the name of a nation on it, and they're going to pray over that nation. Lord, give the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Reveal yourself as creator. And so, and then, you know, it'll be God is deliverer. Lord, deliver those who are in captivity, you know, and we're going to, each week, they're going to be able to pray over the nations, and share and just learn how to pray apostolically.
What?
So that when they're in the prayer room, they know how to pray on the mic. So when my 2-year-old says, Mommy, can I pray on the mic like you did the other night? He'll actually be equipped on how to do that.
And then for the 7 to 10-year-olds, it's going to be even cooler because we're going to have a file folder, and it's a mission file with passports. So they'll pull out a passport for a different country, and then they'll be praying again the apostolic prayer for the nation or people group on the passport that they pick out. Yeah.
I think let's see. You guys can read the rest of this, and if you have any questions, you know, just let us know. Basically, everything that you need to know as far as children's equipping and how our lessons are going to go is in this document. And as you know, as it's going to be your turn to help with children's church, and we're not going to be, you know, there's not going to be a lot of, hey, can you help? Can you help? Can you help? What my heart is that your heart is so burning for children, and you see what's happening, and that our children are prophesying and doing signs and wonders, that you want to be back there because it's so awesome. So anyways, it's all in here. And you can read and know exactly what you're going to need to do, and it'll be fine. And so basically, my heart is not so much that you have figured out exactly how we do every single thing, as much as it is that you come with the right mindset and understanding that children are not, you're not there babysitting. You're there being a minister. And if almost every document, I was purposeful in that I didn't put volunteer, I didn't put worker, I put minister, because that's what you're doing. You are ministering to God while you're ministering to children, and they're going to minister to you probably more than you minister to them. And so just preparing your hearts to have that attitude.
Like she said, that like the entire first part that we skipped, it's real self-explanatory, and that's the more nuts and bolts of it, which, again, just reading over it will totally make sense. You'll get it. But just as we kind of wrap up, finish up, we're going to... we're going to go into just a time of ministry, and something that I want to say as a part of this, the very last part of the very last page, is why closing prayer, and that's, we're going to implement that, and that'll be good, for all the age groups. At the end of the lesson, there'll be a time of closing prayer. But something else that's on our heart is that as we have the older kids, and as we are able to train them to do so, we're actually gonna have the older kids will come back into service at the end of service when we have our ministry time at the end of service. The older kids are gonna come back in, and they're gonna be part of the ministry team. They'll have already been seeking the Lord and had their time, in children's ministry. And when, the service in here goes into ministry time, they're going to, come back in equipped, rearing, ready to go, to minister to all of us. And, I can't wait.
I can't wait.
Are you on the hot seat?
My gosh, yeah.
Okay.
This is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. I am so excited to hear that just laid out for us that way, to know what is coming. That is going to be so awesome, raising these children. And I'll tell you what, their testimony about Josiah, he is amazing. And it really is a product of the mentality that you just heard presented, added to the environment of prayer happening all the time in that room over on Pioneer Parkway. That kid is growing up in the house of prayer, and he is amazing. And I actually, as excited as I am and as amazing as he is, I think he is the prototype, not the abnormal. I think that is what we have to look forward to, because of the intentionality and the environment. Those two things, the intentionality that you just heard presented, is unlike any children's ministry I've ever heard of. The environment of night and day prayer is unlike any other environment. You put those two things together, raise children, and it's going to produce a different creature.
All right.
And I cannot wait to see them as they turn into adolescents and teenagers and young adults. It's going to be awesome to see what happens. And so, Computers URL, thank you guys so much for your time, energy, heart, and We so appreciate you, but at the same time, we don't want to dote on you too much, because we don't want you to understand how valuable you are, because then you'd go someplace and get paid lots of money to do what you're going to do here for free. So thank you guys. My gosh, I am so excited to see what the Lord is going to do in this community as a result of children's ministry. And I'll just tell you, as a bystander, you guys cast a vision tonight that you all, I think, totally captures your heartbeat that you relayed at the end, and that is, casting a vision for what's going to be happening in children's ministry to make all of us like desirous to be back there helping and ministering. And I think so much of probably why any of us who've had either inexperience or negative experience with children's ministry has been how much like babysitting it was.
That's good.
And so it wasn't ministry, and we didn't feel like ministers. We felt like babysitters, and we didn't like it. And so we didn't want to do that. What you just said, I want to do that. I mean, like, I'm going to find a way to be back there and get somebody to preach for me right now. But, like, I want to be back there. That is awesome. So thank you. I am stoked. I'm so excited. Wow. Okay. Cherish, come up here, because Cherish is going to just, she had something on her heart. Just lead us into a little bit of time ministry, I think, just praying for us. And man, this is going to be fun, guys. This is going to be a fun launch that we have together as a team, as we figure out what all that, I mean, they just cast a great vision, but it's still going to take a little bit of working out to figure out how it, you know, works out. And, you know, visitors coming in, when we do the, you know, meet and greet time, it's going to take a little bit of time so that that's not awkward. But you know what? After a little bit of time, this stuff's still going to start to click. And this is going to be the most incredible thing. The Lord is giving this to us, not so we can have a broken small fellowship, but so that the Lord can actually be releasing His plan, His purposes for us as a congregation. And we're going to be forming into that over the course of these next couple of months. And I'm excited. So.
We're just going to do a couple minutes of ministry time. Just the Lord just really put on my heart just about, you know, how there's a lot of teachers that are going to be starting school tomorrow. And then also I just was really feeling, the Lord just gave me a verse that I just is really on my heart. It was 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And I just know that a lot of times we just have like a lot of anxieties, and life kind of just, we just have so many problems, and stuff will come up and we'll be worried about something. And I just wanted to take a couple of minutes and just to kind of, if there's something going on in this season and you're just kind of overwhelmed and just anxiety is hitting you, I just want just take a couple of minutes and just give that to the Lord, because He really does care about us. He cares about those little burdens that are on our heart. He wants us to give those to Him. So I just want to take a couple of minutes. I'm just going to pray over the room, but if you could, just if there's something on your heart, just give it to the Lord, and He'll take care of you. Jesus, I thank You, God, that You love us, and You do not desire us to worry about things and to be consumed, God, with the world, Lord, that You want us to just give it all to You. So, Father, we just lay down, God, all of those worldly things, God, all of those anxieties of life, God, all of the cares, God, that we don't need to care about, Lord. We just give it all to You, Father. We just ask that You would just touch our hearts, God, that You would give us peace. Lord, I just pray that You would just bless the teachers this week, Father, that You would just give them such grace, God, just from the things of trying to get things together and just are so busy, Father. I just pray that You would just make this next year just so peaceful and so awesome. God, just give them such a love, God, for those children. And God, would You just move on all of our hearts. God, just give us grace and help us just to fall more and more in love with You, and just give, God, all of our burdens to You, Father, that You care about us, and that God, You will lift us up in due time. And God, just touch our hearts, Father. We love You and we thank You.
Thank you.
service is over now. If you want to stay in here just for a few minutes and soak in the presence, you're welcome to do that. You're also, I encourage you to go out into the lobby and just fellowship with one another.
Say the things as they are. What's your name?
Good to meet you, John.
John, nice to meet you. All right. This is fine.
No way.
Yeah.
You guys have got...
They're messing with you.
So no. Like,
no, yep. It really is.
No, no,
it's
right.
No, it's really not.
Did you already
We're
this?
Really related.
Yeah.
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 This is really my sister.
Yep. So,
I feel like this is my new... I'm like, oh, man. I'm calling.
It might be. I'm not going to tell you that it is, but it might be.
It could be. Oh, man.
I was just asking.